Okay.
We'd begun to look at Simon Sadi Gimel. Right, let's review what we saw. What we saw, this is ABCs of practical kitchen shilas. Sadi Gimel and Sadi Dalet are going to be things that come up all the time. K'dira shebisha b'baso lo yivasha b'chalav v'imdisha b'abasok me'isla'is asur b'nosein tamen sarap l'shark negative collectiva. Right? If you cook milk in a flaccid pot or vice versa, starting at the beginning of Sadi Gimel, within 24 hours, so that is tam l'shvach, then it's asur for Sfaradim, it's asur if the milk tastes meaty, but for Ashkenazim, it's asur if the milk is less than 60 times as big as the meat taste in the pot, and we discussed how to measure that. Avalim shah me'is le'is, but if it's an ein ben yomo pot, kodesh b'shavah haver le'nos nam l'fgam motor tav, so if you cook milk in an ein ben yomo fleishik pot, then it is still kosher. Aval hakdeira asul v'asul l'basar v'lo chalav. However, the pot becomes quote-unquote treif, right? It has an old tam l'fgam of meat. Now it got a tam l'shvach of milk. So now it's both fleishig and milchik, and you can't cook meat or milk, only parv in it. And the shach thinks the alpi minhag we should make it treif legamri. Well, shard var mutter alpi din you can cook parv in it, but the minhag is not that way. Okay, before we continue in the Ramah, the shach and the taz here deal with some of the less strange shitas brought up in the tour here about. Cases like this. So first we have the Itter. The Bala Itter brings down three opinions. The Bala Itter brings down three opinions of what happens if you cook milk in a flaccid pot and there is bittul b'shishin. Moment, imagine this would be similar to the case we just discussed if you cook milk in a flaccid pot and it's eina b'yomo. Meaning, what happens if you cook milk in a flaccid pot and it ends up kosher? Right? So, here you are. Bishel chalav bikdeira shel basar v'hachalav kosher. Right? Why is the milk kosher? Ki haya bo shishim negev tam basar. It might be similar that it's parallel to the case we have here, where the chalav might be kosher because there's ein ben yom. Right, the Torah hints that perhaps the ein ben yom case might be a little more makel, but let's equate them for now, just for the sake of argument. Right, parallel to case where milk is kosher because pot was. Right? Either way, the milk is kosher. Now the question is, what's the din of the pot? So the Itter brings down three opinions. I hope I'm writing them in the right order. I think so. One opinion is that the pot is milchik. Second opinion is that the pot is treif. Right? Third opinion, which is the Itter himself, says that the pot is parif. You can cook either meat or milk. Those are the three opinions. Which one of these opinions do we paskin like? Which of these opinions do we paskin like? One, two, or three? What?
Two.
We paskin like two. That's what the Torah says in the Ribbon of Peretz. In the parallel case, he says, we paskin the pot is treif. Whether the milk had shishim against the meat taste absorbed in the pot, or whether the milk was mutter because it was eino ben yomo, the milk might be mutter, but the pot is treif. Why? What's the svar? What is the svar? So, the swerve going to be paskin is pretty clear. I don't necessarily mean treif. I mean, can't cook meat or milk in it, and then it reminds us to use treif. Why? Because it has blios of milk and meat, right? So then it's treif, practically we'll treat that as treif, even though we mentioned the lumdish pot. This is the lumdish pot. Okay, what's the svar for the first opinion? What we compare this to? What?
This bottle is bottle.
But doesn't it have blios of... Doesn't have blios of... what is it? Doesn't have blios of meat in the pot. So you have to say, what happens to the blios of meat in the pot? Why does the pot become milchik?
They come out.
Exactly. Because the meat blios come out. It's a little like being kashered, right? Like the milk kashers out the meat bleals. So now, obviously, it's a milk pot, but the milk kashers out the meat bleals. It's not going to kasher out the milk bleals because it's full of milk all over. Like the milk bleals, they just go in and out all the time. But there's a little meat bleals there. That little meat bleals goes into the milk and becomes batel. Then it gets kashered out. Meat bleals come out. That it is kashered. Right, the meat bleos come out into the milk. They're batel. They don't affect the milk, and they're gone. Okay, which of these is impossible to understand, Misvara? Is, of course, the itter. Why? If I just cook milk in a new pot, it becomes milchik. So why, if I cook milk in a fleshy pot, would it be parv? Right? This doesn't make any sense. Tarech ion gadol. That's what the Taz deals with here. Remember, I read you the shot who says, his pshat isn't so good. I mean, again, it might be good relative to how hard the question is. Meaning, given how difficult this iter is, maybe he did a pretty good job. But, okay, not good enough for the shach standards. And he doesn't see why he discussed it anyway, because this is a shita, which, you know, this and the halacha will never be in the same room at the same time. But the Taz has a tremendous chiddush to explain this iter. It doesn't mean the Taz holds this. It just means he holds that this is the Shita of the Itter. What's the crazy Chiddush of the Taz to explain the Shita of the Itter? He has a few steps. What does he say? He says, and what type of Kli is the Itter talking about? Just to make it a little more difficult. What type of Kli is he talking about? Okay, but what's it made of?
Cheres.
A Kli Cheres. Right? So if a Kli Cheres, meaning it's hard enough to understand why it would be kashered at all. But we'll come back to that. Okay? Klicheres, that's already going to be difficult. But, pot, let's explain this first. So says the Taz says a number of assumptions. His first assumption is, everyone knows, what's the special denim of Klicheres? Right, any yotzmi yadofi li olam can never be kashered. How do we know Klicheres can't be kashered? What does the Pasuk say? What? Sorry? Okay, but it doesn't explicitly say one way or the other. How do we know cheres can't be kashered? HaTorah he'ida al kli cheres. Torah testified about kli cheres, and he goes and don't feel the olam, won't leave its treifness forever. Where did the Torah testify this? Shall I give you a clue? No, that's Tuma. Parshas Tzav. What happens when you cook kudshim? Right? Ukli cheres asher tivu shalbo yishaver yimechlina choshes bushalom rak v'shutaf b'mayim. If you cook chatas in a kli cheres, you have to break it. But if you cook it in a metal kli, you have to just purge it and wash it with water. Doesn't mean metal kli can be kashered. A kli cheres has to be broken. Why can't you kasher it? Because you can't kasher a kli cheres. So, everyone in the whole world understands that Chazal mean what they say and say what they meant. The Torah was made that you can't kasher kli cheres. The chiddush of the Taz is, chiddush A, that you can't learn from kudshim to chulin. Kudshim have special chumras. There are rituals of kudshim. In the rituals of kudshim, there's no ritual that's appropriate for kli cheres. It has to be broken. But that doesn't mean you can't kasher kli cheres. It just means for kudshim you can't. So number A, he says, you can't learn chulin from kachim. But we can. We know you can't kasher kli cheres. So what's his chiddush? That the inability to kasher kli cheres
is only midrabbanan. In kadshim, it's a pasuk in the Torah, but to extrapolate to chule is only midrabbanan. Okay. Second step. Now,
but if it's still a din drabbanan, right? So it's a second big chiddush.
Again, it doesn't mean the pas holds this. Just to explain the iter.
Since it's only din drabbanan. Here it gets a little tricky. Since it's only Dindra Banan, therefore,
they, the Rabbanan, weren't Gozer, bid the Eved on, bid the Eved if you didn't cook treif.
They weren't gozer b'di'evit if you didn't cook treif. Meaning, if you didn't cook treif, here you didn't cook treif. You cooked milk in a meat pot, but then it'll be treif. Then, there are, meaning, if you cook treif, a goy cooked pork in a chlicheres, they were gozer in b'di'evit. You can't use it. But over here, they weren't gozer b'di'evit. They said you can kasher a, they said you can kasher this pot. And therefore, now the meat is kashered out. Still doesn't help us. The meat is kashered out, but it should still be a milchik pot. So here's the wild chiddush.
They said they weren't gozer if you didn't cook treif. Therefore, what does that mean? Bid the eved, they. It's not visari. Because they relaxed the gzeira. There's really a gzeira you can never kasher it. They relaxed the gzeira b'di'evet, and therefore you can consider it kashered.
Okay, that's not the crazy part. Now, well, why isn't it at least milchik? So here's the Taz gets very creative. He says, hold on a second. When is it not milchik? He says, after 24 hours. Right, where is this? Or, I would say, maybe a little better. Okay, fine. When is this?
When is this? B'di'evit, he says, after 24 hours,
is it milchik d'oraisa or midrabanan? After 24 hours, is it milchik midoraisa or midrabanan?
Yeah, midrabanan.
Because?
What? No,
b'di'evet the food's not milchik. But l'chachila, you can't use the pot.
Right, so after 24 hours, it's chalavi, only midrabanan. And once they permitted, or rather, once they were mako, that it's not bisari, they were also mako, that it's not chalavi. Okay,
this is a little bit of a big chiddush here.
Right. Where does the Talmud say that?
1 second. I'll find. V'chein b'levasha b'basar ach sheyish meisla is v'tamo pogam ameilim tafshut kam leisur rabbanu yavul de pseida di efshel l'shtamish bo'od v'anu chazir and gzeir tam pogam lo chosh bo'cham el l'chachil lo b'dievet shari kan haba k'dievet kem she efshel l'shtamish bo al kain Shavkua kan adin Torah ve'in kan. 1 second. Let me say it a little better. Okay, hold on. Let me say it a little sharper. that
that any goats we don't feel is only
midrabanan. Okay, ready?
So therefore, it's only bisari midrabanan, right?
Because midaraisa was kashered.
B. After 24 hours,
I'm not going to prove the shock right here.
After 24 hours, it's only chalavi midrabanan because it's no same time of God.
Right? After 24 hours, the time of chalav is also midrabanan because it's pugim. Now, what do we see here?
See, they weren't gozer to they weren't gozer to prohibit the kli bid the eved if it was never treif. If the kli was never treif,
they wouldn't have meant to make all these zeros b'di'evet. They only wanted to asr the hachtiva. They didn't want to asr b'di'evet. Now, it's a little funny. A treif kli, if 24 hours they asr b'di'evet. Let's say, if you didn't cook treif, then they didn't want to do it b'di'evet. And then, D,
once we are makel on the iser d'rabbanan, that's enough, right? To prohibit the kli b'di'evet if it was never treif, and since if you kept the gzeros, you wouldn't be able to cook basar or chalav, and people didn't eat a lot of parv in those days. They were mako to permit the gzeros. That's basically what he's trying to say.
He's trying to say both ways the gzera. The fact that you can't kasher it is only a gzera. They were mako on the gzera. The fact that you can't, the fact that after 24 hours it's still usher is only a gzera. Since between these gzeras you're not going to be able to use your kli at all, it's not treif, but you're not going to be able to use your kli at all, then they didn't want to make the gzeras in this case. And that's why it becomes parif. And there's no point saying let it be milchik, because either there are gzeros or there aren't gzeros. Right? If there are gzeros, then you can't use it at all, hardly. And if there aren't gzeros, then it's parif. So that's the chah. Meaning if I just cook milk in a kli, then the chachila, just call it milchik. But if I have milk and meat in a kli, then it's either almost useless or parif, because there's no point having half the gzeros without the other half the gzeros. And therefore they relax the gzeros. That's a tremendous chiddush of the Taz. Okay, it's a tremendous chiddush because it makes chazals like gzeros sort of arbitrary. Like, the gzeros are b'di'evet, they're willing to relax the gzeros, only in the rare case where you have a pot that would be not very, what you would have to hardly ever be able to use, yet it wasn't treif. That's sort of a nice way to draw the line. But that's the chop of the Taz to explain the iter. Whether the Taz is right or wrong, we don't hold like the iter. So we can say Shalom al Yisrael.
The din of this why it's not b'sari, the din why it's b'sari, the rabbanon is because of the gzera of any yotim de dofno le'olam, as opposed to the din of nosentam l'vgam. That's why it's still chalavi. It's still the rabbanon, right? It's still fleshy because any yotim dofno le'olam, even though there was hagala, right, in the first part, and still there, still like the rabbanon after any ben yomo because nosentam l'vgam. So the Taz says the din of nosentam l'vgam was only chatchila not b'di'evet. But where does the Taz know that the din of any yotim de dofno is only chatchila b'di'evet? You would think that din is also b'di'evet, not kiddikach, because it says you have to break it. I mean, in the din of the so once you say that, you should make it fleshy.
No, because fleshy is also a ben yomo.
26, we also have Ein Levin Yom Rom. Right, that was...
It's a good question. I mean, you could just skip the whole Ein Yozim V'Deidofyo part, right? And it would still work.
Oh, no, then that's what I was trying to answer up by saying you can have a chalak in Gzeros. Once it's the same Gzeros, once it's two different Gzeros, and the Taz has a proof that you say only the Chatzim Abed and Nelson Tav of Gam, he has no proof that you say that the Gam of Gzeros and Nelson V'Deidofna. So you just make kind of Gzeros and Nelson V'Deidofna and make it Felicia.
No, but if you're going to matter one, matter them all.
Because it's not being Yomo for the Fleshe.
That he didn't want to. It's a little tricky, I admit. It's a little tricky. It's a little tricky. Why couldn't he have just said, by now, they're both Ein Levin Yomo? They're from Yerubanan, we're mounting them both, because the Ein Levin Yomo and skip the whole thing about the kashering.
Right.
That is a very good question. Not sure. I have to be eyeing this more. Okay, this is what the Taz says. Yesh la'ayin in it, but we'll leave it for now because I don't want to spend too much time on it, and maybe the Shach of Radin, I shouldn't have mentioned it at all. Okay, now we get to a more closer to practical question, which is the sheet of the Rashba. What does the Rashba say? Says the Rashba. That if you have a fleshing pot, and then you cook pariv, what's his word for cooking pariv? What does he call it? Bishalba? Yurakos. Right? Pariv, that was, right? That's what's pariv, right? Yurakot. And then you cook pariv, says the Rashba, if you have a fleshing pot, and then you cook, pariv, then, what happens to it? It is now parv. The pot has been kashered. What is the svar of the Rashba? Why does he say that this kashers a pot? So here, what's the pashup shot in the Rashba? Why is this just every time you cook vegetables, that's a hagala? So the pashup shot in the Rashba is, right? He explains that a lower standard of Hagala is enough for Keter Bala. There's a principle we will learn in Hechsher Caleb, the last Gemara of Avodah Zarah. It says, Bleas Heter are easier to kasher than Bleas of Isser. One classic example is that, Liban. You never need Liban. Even if you have a barbecue, if it's just Bolei Heter, you don't need Liban. You can just do Agala. There are lower standards of kashering for a Teir Bala. What's the logic? Isser is Isser. It's treif. So if you don't kasher it fully, you still have treif. Heter is Heter. As long as you weaken it mostly, now it's so weak that it won't become Isser. Like, let's say you have a fleshed pot. So I kashered it good enough that it, now the fleshed taste left is very weak. That weak fleshed taste will not become basar kalaf. Right, so Isur Bala, you just have to mostly kasher. Isur Bala, you have to fully kasher. A Teir Bala, you just have to mostly kasher, and that's good enough. Now, this Rashba sounds like a good svarah for what shita that's on the board. The first sheet in the Itter. After all, you didn't necessarily kasher it. First of all, it's a kli cheres, you can't kasher. And you didn't necessarily kasher it, you just cooked milk. How did they kasher out the bleas of meat? The answer is, because it's a terrible, right? There's no surah here, because it never became basar b'chalav. So it sounds like the same. Seems to be the same shita as the first sheet in the Itter. What's the first sheet in the Itter saying? First sheet in the Itter says, if you have a bleas heter, if this is treif, this wouldn't help.
If you had a treif pot and cooked vegetable soup, you wouldn't say now it's kosher. If you had a treif pot and cooked milk, you wouldn't say now it's kosher. But that's it was treif. Here the pot was never treif, and your food was never treif. It just had a bleas hetzer. Bleas hetzer is easier to get rid of. That's what he explains, and he brings a mucker from the Gemara. The Gemara says that, here's a good question, when they used pots to cook in the Beis HaMikdash, what's going to be the problem with the pots? You cook very kosher karbanos. What's the problem?
No sir.
They become noser the next day. So let's stick with shlomen for now, right? Cook a lot of shlomen. When does shlomen become noser? Right, 2 days from now, the third day. So this is us, all the pots were treif. So they said, no problem. I cook today shlomen on Sunday. Then when I cook on Monday, kashers out Sunday shlomen. And then when I cook on Tuesday, kosher that Monday shlomen, since shlomen can be eaten one day later. So it's always kosher, it's always fine. So it sounds like cooking takes away a terabala. If it was treif, cooking wouldn't help. But just to take away a heter taste, to keep it from becoming a sir, cooking is good enough. So that's the Rashba. What is then they ask a kasha in the Torah. The stira they ask in the Torah is, they ask two stiras in the Torah. Stira in the Torah. One stira is that the Rashba he accepts, but the Iter, Yesh Omrim, number one, he rejects. If it's the same Shita, why does he accept the Rashba and reject the first Yesh Omrim, the Iter? How do we answer that? How would you answer that?
Because when you're lowering the level of Isser, you can't be putting Basar and Chala together.
Aha, okay, great. So one answer is, the Beis Yosef gives a few answers, right? One answer is, the Beis Yosef, and this is what the Darkei Moshe likes, and this is what the Nekudas HaKesef likes. He says, this is when you cook parif. This is when you cook milk. Now, even though really they should be similar, when you cook pyrav, it's kosher, when you cook milk, it's kosher, right? Because the meat was batel shishim. However, he says, this sounds like only chomer d'rabbanan, he says, it's not right for milk to kasher meat. Vegetables, we can understand they kasher the meat. I know it's a lower level of kasher, it's good enough for a terebala. But how can milk make meat more kosher? It's just against, even if technically maybe it should work, there should be exera, it doesn't seem right.
But it would be okay if you were, let's say, koshering a milk of pork that you made flesh, you could make it milk again. You would kosher the milk of pot, no?
Yes, but then you would do with all the rules of koshering properly, right?
Yeah,
not just cook something, you would put it in boiling water.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's in a milk pot, but the fact that that you're koshering something that's fleshic through something that's milk like isn't a problem, it's only because it's direct here?
No, it's only because over here, you're not koshering in the normal way of koshering. You're just cooking.
So the fact that you're koshering makes it okay that it's in a milk pot?
Yes.
Okay.
Besides the fact, even better, you don't use milk in that case. That doesn't look so bad. A melting pot, the same to the water's pyre, so that's probably the right answer. Okay, anyone have any other answers? What does the Taz say? Both. Yeah, the Beis Yosef has many answers. The Beis Yosef and the Taz says, easy. This is Klicheris. Maybe we reject the Etrix in Klicheris, we don't think that works. I know the Etrix might have crazy shitas, but we, in Klicheris, you can never clean anything out. But what's the opposite of klicheris? What's the proper halachic terminology? What's the lingo, Shmuley, for something that's not a klicheris? What do we call it? It could be wood. Klishetef. Klishetef means, literally, l'shtof, kelim. You could wash it. What does it mean? It means you could put it in a mikvah if it becomes tummy. Or it means you could kasher it if it becomes treif, right? But it really comes from, more stuff in mind. So klishetef means not a klicheris. So the answer is that if it's a kasherable kli, then the Torah accepts this Rashba. But if it's a non-kasherable kli, then we don't think that just cooking, just like you can kasher klicheris, cooking can kasher klicheris. But just like you can kasher metal kalim, cooking can also kasher metal kalim enough if they were only heterabola. There is a third shita answer in the Beis Yosef as well, which is not in the Achronim, has a third answer. He says, what do you cook vegetables in the Rashba? How do you cook vegetables?
In water.
Ah. So he says, maybe water is better at kashering. Forget the vegetables. The vegetables are lomal of lomor. It's water. While milk is not good for kashering physically. I don't mean halacha cleans the bus for chalav. He means maybe water is very cleansing and has the power to get out tastes. Milk doesn't get out tastes as well. Let me say it a little better. Water has the power to purge. Milk does not have the ability to purge. Maybe it's just that milk, because of whatever chemicals make it milk, is not as good as cleaning things. Water is a better cleanser than milk. That's his third shot. Not halachically it's milk, just physically. Okay, there are lots of answers to this question. Now we'll just do one other question, and with that we will paskin halacha l'maisa. Steer number two in the Torah. He accepts the Rashba, but he quotes a Sefer HaTruma later on that if you have a fleshik pot and then cook water in the pot and then cook milk in the pot, within 24 hours it's treif. That's exactly the opposite. That's even with water, right? That's with water. Meaning none of these answers are necessarily going to work. The chori is not talking about klicheres, right? So what do we see here is he accepts the Sefer HaTruma later, it's not here, it's later, which says that if you cook water in a bisari pot, it stays bisari. That's not the main point. The main point of the Sefer HaTruma is this. If you cook water in a fleshik pot, is it ben yomo 24 hours from when you cook meat or from when you cook water? That's the whole discussion. But this is a problem, it's a stira. On the one hand, if you cook vegetables in water, it becomes par. But on the other hand, if you cook water, it stays fleishik. So how do you answer the stira? What does the Taz say? Says the Taz, says very poshut. He says, what's the difference between cooking water and vegetables? If you want to boil water in your pot, how long do you boil it for? Let's say you want water. How long do you boil water for? Until it boils, right? How long does that take? Let's call it 10 minutes. If you cook vegetables, how long do you cook vegetables for? Vegetable soup.
Longer.
Just till it boils? No, when it boils, just when it starts, right? Boiling is just the beginning of cooking vegetable soup. Then you have to cook the vegetable soup. So says the Taz, vegetables and water seem similar. But it's not true, because you cook water short and you cook vegetables long. So what does the Taz say? Here is, if you cook for a long time, that makes it parav. And this is, if you cook for a short time, and it actually makes sense. Cooking water, you only cook till it boils. Cooking vegetables, you cook till it boils, and then you start cooking it. What's a long time, what's a short time? Where do you draw the line? Where does the Taz draw the line, Menachem? Shmuley? He says, as long as you cooked the busser. If you have a fleshy pot, and the longest you ever cooked meat in it was 47 minutes, then you have to cook 47 minutes vegetables in order to weaken it. After all, kabolo kapoto, right? However long you cook the meat. So when you cook vegetable soup, you usually cook it as long as chicken soup. And therefore, that would weaken it and make it pyrav. When you boil water, you boil it chick-chack, 10 minutes, you're done. And therefore, it does make it pyrav. That's the Taz. The Shach throws in a monkey wrench. The Shach has a new pshat in the Rashba.
Not only a new pshat, perhaps a dochu pshat in the Rashba.
He He's a little more subtle about it at the end. Shach being the Kudus HaKesen. What does the Shach say? The Rasp was talking about a case where you cooked in a way that met all the standards of Haggadah. The Rashba never meant if you stam cook, that takes away a tear of all that makes a parv again. The Rashba never meant if you stam cook vegetable soup in a place you cut it makes a parv. Never meant anything of the sort. He meant if you cook vegetable soup in a way that happens to meet all the rules of Haggadah, then it becomes parv. And that's also what the Gemara meant about the Shlomim. That no, that if you cook every day in a way that meets the standards of Haggadah, then that's good, then that's good enough. As opposed to the Sefer Truma was talking about, if you cooked in a way that doesn't qualify as Haggadah. Now, he didn't use these words. He gave examples. What are examples of a way that wouldn't qualify as Haggadah? He gives three examples, if I'm not mistaken. A, let's look at the pot. What kind of pot would not qualify as Haggadah that maybe the Sefer Trum was talking about? If it was a Klicheris. He, for example, maybe it's a Klicheris. The Rashba meant a metal pot. You can kasher. Klicheris, you can't, right? That's similar to that answer. Or, anyone know the rules of Haggadah? Can you just stop and cook water in a pot that's Haggadah? What do you have to make sure to do? What? No. What? Let's say it's clean.
We usually say inside and outside, right?
Well, even just a step before that. Before we're at the outside, how much water do you have to put in? Needs to be full, right? You can't cook half, a third full of water in kasher, right? When you make pasta, how? When you make pasta, that's your rakos, right? I mean, not literally. How much water do you put in the pot when you make pasta? Actually, it's not good. No. Klicheres, e.g. Klicheres, or you, it's only partially full, right? Bishol, if it's partially full, that's not Haggadah. Maybe the Rashba meant when it was full up to the tippy top. And the Sefer Truma is partially full, or how hot does it have to be to boiling? Or, what if it's not boiling? Maybe the Rashba meant when it was the boiling point, right? 100 degrees or 212 degrees. And the Sefer Truma when it's not boiling. Basically, all the Shach says is that the Sefer Truma's right if you didn't do it in a way that counts as kashering, then it stays fleshic. The Rashba just meant if you do it in a way that counts as kashering, then it turns pirate. He basically denied the whole chiddush of the Rashba. You thought the Rashba was making a chiddush, that any cooking is good enough. No, you need full kashering. In which case, there's no chiddush in the Rashba. Didn't the Rashba say he was making a chiddush? Didn't he quote a whole thing about a teravala? What's the Rashba's chiddush then? So, the Shach here, it's bedochak, I admit. Then what's a teravala? Right, the pshat in the Shach is that it's a lower standard for a teravala. But, the pshat in the Rashba. Shach says, the Rashba meant, he's mesupet, but this is certainly what he leans to, meant full Haggadah, right? Full Haggadah. Then why did the Rashba say in a Terebullah we have lower standards? All the Rashba meant, I don't need to put it here, I'll put it here, meant full Haggadah. The Rashba meant full absolute Haggadah. Then what's the Chiddush? Chiddush is just that for heterabala, even something which normally needs liban, what do we call things that normally need liban? Shpud v'haskala, right? Spits and, what do you call barbecue grills? Grills? Even spits and grills. Well, spits and grills is a little tricky. Even, let's say better, even used for roasting can be kashered via Haggadah. Meaning, you don't even things which is normally liban for a terrible, you can do Haggadah. And that's all the Rashba meant. All the Rashba meant is if you have a certain pan and you use that pan to roast. And then you use that pan to put vegetables, even though it shouldn't eat libun, it's good enough for a teirah bala. Hagola is good enough. It's a very dull shot in the Rashi. The Rashi's really point really seems to be that just cooking is good enough. But that's what the Nekudas HaKesef B'Dochik wants to say. He just meant, if it wouldn't need libun, you could do Hagola for a tirabola. But Hagola has to be kedino. A 90% or 80% Hagola is a 0% Hagola. The Rashba, basically, the Rashba has no finish anymore. According to the Shach, there's no chiddush in the Rashba. So now we have, yes?
Can you just say that you can do Hagala even with something inside, like while there's vegetables or grains?
That is an interesting question. Maybe that's also part of the chiddush of the Rashba.
Presumably you don't need, like, lashana to be
Correct. in his lashon, he definitely sounds like he's making some lower standard. You're saying maybe that's a lower standard for a teirah bala?
Why are you doing it to pe'ula?
Right. Possible. That's not what he focuses on here, but it might be. Meaning, that's not what the Shach is saying, but maybe you can say this correct. Lemaisa, what are we paskin? Lemaisa, now we have two questions. What did the Rashba mean, what he seems to mean, or what the Shach makes him mean? And do we paskin like him? Right? So, says the, how do we paskin in this case? Says the Beis Yosef, psak. What's the psak? The Beis Yosef rejects the Rashba. Remember, the Torah accepted the Rashba, which caused a lot of stiras. Beis Yosef says we don't hold like the Rashba. And the Shach says, he accepts the Rashba because there's no chiddush. According to his shot of the Rashba, the Rashba's not making a chiddush, so of course he accepts it. And he says, you know what, and if everyone else is right and the Rashba's making a chiddush, then we don't accept him. Lemaisa, everyone agrees we can't use the kula of the Rashba. That's a shame. Everyone agrees we don't use the kula of the Rashba. Right? If the Rashba really meant what he seemed to say, that you can have a lower standard of Hagalah, then we pass him against him. And if he meant what the Rashba says, to make no chiddush at all, they need a full standard of Hagolah, then we possibly like him, but then there's no chiddush. So halach l'maisa, we do not accept the kula of the Rashba, either because we say he never meant a kula, b'dokak, or he did mean a kula, but we don't paskin like that kula. So in the Torah, you have to miyash all these questions, but for us, halach l'maisa, notice the Machaber never brought down this Rashba. Why? The Beis Yosef didn't hold like this. So, halacha lemaisa, you don't hold like the Rashba. Even if you cook pariv in your fleishik pot, it's still fleishik, unless you cook pariv in a way that fulfills all the dino of Hagolah. Then, of course, it's pariv. Right? You filled it all up, and you boiled it, and it was a kasher old pot. But then, that's not a kiddush anymore. Again, Aaron's hetara, notwithstanding. Okay. Now we're ready to go on. Yeah, we'll come back to the real lavan. Let's go on in the Machar, in the Ramah. The Ramah discusses two scenarios. Or one scenario. The Ramah says, what's the din of covers, pot covers? So says the Ramah, the din kisek der din ter atma, the pot cover is the same as the pot. Why? How does a bliya come out of the pot cover? Right, exactly. So once you cover it, it's very thick steam. It's not like an oven, which is controversial. It's obvious that all the taste get mixed up. Good. All of a sudden he found this chumrah. Right, where did he get this from? Agor Sharidur in the name of a kovetz, of a book. Right? Some people say pot covers are more chumrah than pots. Even ein ben yomo, even if you haven't used it for a week, it'll still trafe up your food. If you cook milk in a fleishik pot that was used 2 days ago, it's kosher. But if you put in a fleishik pot cover used 2 days ago, it's trafe. That's a minimum someplace. You're going to need him the and I also, he sounds like Liz Balkor, he's not happy. The Rama says, I also have this minute, because that's the minute. There's no logic to it. There's no logic. And therefore, since there's no logic, I don't want to go against the minhag, but if there's any svara to be makel besides this, Oshel Tzorach Shabbos or Tzorach Shabbos or Hefzed Yesh Lahatir. Then you can make a Lina Kish Ben Yom Kum Tir Atzma. Says this is a meaningless Amrut. No one knows where it came from. No one knows the logic. There can't be an explanation. Therefore, we keep it. But if we have any excuse, we can be Mekel. Like there's one other Tzad Lahakel, or it's a Makom Tzorach, like for Shabbos or for Hefzed, then we can be Mekel. Okay, this is a very peculiar chumrah, right? The Shach says in Sifkatan Dalid, he really sounds like he's against this chumrah, right? He doesn't like this chumrah, doesn't like this chumrah at all. He doesn't say explicitly whether she respects the minig or not, but he's definitely doesn't like this chumrah, sits in minig tolos, etc. The question is, can we find any svara for the minhag? So, what's the svara for this minhag? Right? The chumrah, what's the chumrah? On a kisoy she'eno ben yomo, that even though it's tam lefgam, it'll still make your pot food treif. That's a big chumrah. What could possibly be the svara? So we're not 100% sure. The Shach quotes in Peres Chatas that he says, what does he say here? He says, Chomer iser zeya v'recha mi iser shu al yedetam ba'atzmo. What's the svara? One, the Peres Chatas says that Isser Zeya Varecha, it comes from the steam and the smell, is Chamor Mi Tam Atzmo, from actually the taste of cooking the thing itself. Shach cannot make heads or tails of this. Why would it possibly be true that the smell and the steam of something is more Chamor than the thing itself? Right? It doesn't make any sense.
You needed the Toras Chatas.
Yeah, and that's why Toras Chatas didn't really think he did a good job. There are two other pshatim, though. Two other pshatim are based on, this is a machlokas, we've shown them how we paskin. We paskin that a pot becomes eino ben yomo and tam lefgam after 24 hours. That's only a kli. But the en, actual schmutz, answers forever. There's no din of eino ben yomo by the en. If you have a dirty pot with actual schmutz on it, there's no din of eino ben yomo. So, Says the Bach, it's because there is be'en. A pot can be clean, but a pot cover is always dirty. Why is a pot cover always dirty? So he says, because the steam, let me read you the Lashon, because it doesn't make any sense, so I don't want you to think I'm making it up. Ready? Kevin Sharticha Ola Sham Tamid Nidvak Ba'od Vi Eftra Lekancho Heitev. Right? Because the constant steam makes tough grime that is too hard to clean. Says, the pot you can clean. Then you just cook it. But the constant steam in the pot cover makes baked on grime that you can't clean. We don't understand that either.
He wasn't smoking it, he said it half that we were talking
about. No, he said that's a general rule. Kamichar Tihol Shum Tamid Nidma Bodvi Efshal Khan Khohete. Vahu Tamua. Right? And the Taz says, it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The pots are hard to clean because you get burnt on actual food. Pot covers are easy to clean. So, the only pshat that's halfway decent is the Marashal. The Marshal also says, because there is be'en, but again, why would a pot cover be dirtier than a pot? Don't tell me it gets more baked on. We all know that's the opposite of reality. So he says, you don't know what kind of pot covers they had in those days. A pot is wide open. Pot covers had crevices, which were, you couldn't fit your hand in, so it was hard to clean. Not because it's more stuck. It's less stuck. But it has crevices, and crevices are hard to clean. In a pot, that's for sure true. A pot is easy to clean, or at least relatively easy to clean, because you can put your hand everywhere, you can scrub it. You can't scrub a crevice. There's the N, because covers have crevices. Now, my pot covers don't, but I guess their pot covers sometimes, when it got slanted in the middle, had a little crevice. Maybe it was the handle or something, which you couldn't get your hand in. Now, nowadays, you can't get your hand in. We have all kinds of brushes and all kinds of other things. In those days, if you couldn't get your hand in it, then you wouldn't clean it. If you don't clean it, it has to end, right? You cook meat and meat and meat and meat and meat. The gravy goes up. It solidifies. You basically have a whole depository of meat fat in that crevice. And meat fat, there's no heter vena mignoma. Vena mignoma is only for kalin, not for fat. And that meat fat will make it usser. That's the svara of the Maharshal. Halacha lemaisa, there are the Pisrei Tshuva starts bringing in some kulas based on the Ramah. What does the Ramah do? What do you do with these three reasons? So, what that means, lemaisa, is one derech is the Ramah that keep it even though it doesn't make sense. That's what the Ramah says, right? He says, I gave my best reason, it doesn't make any sense, we'll keep it anyway unless we find some other tzad l'hakdol. And Pisrei Tshuva says, well, maybe if it's just a minute without a tam, it's only for a cover that's used as a cover. But if you cover it with a plate, since that's not called a kisoy, the minute doesn't apply. And then he says, maybe after 2 months you can make it and assume that it's all clean by now, all kinds of kulas. However, the achronim, such as the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chavazas back in the end, say, most achronim, say, that, no, we should go with the Marshal. If there's three explanations and only one of them makes any sense, we have to go with the one that makes sense. So it really is usser. The Marshal is a really good point. But when is it really usser? Only. Only if it has crevices, right? So that it's, we're only machmir if it has crevices. Meaning, we go with Marshal. This minhag must have been talking about the old days when some pots had crevices. And that's why they were machmir. Nafkamina being, if our pots in 2014 don't have crevices anymore, then we don't have to keep this minhag. You don't have to look for other sudden lahakel. You don't have to look for hefzid. We don't have to keep this minhag anymore because the minhag was only when they had crevices in their pots. And then, even if you clean the crevice, the minhag was to always be machmir. Nowadays, when our pots don't have crevices, we don't have to keep this minhag anymore. And that's halacha l'maisa. I think nowadays the minhag of Mori Hora is that they do not keep the minhag of this Ramah anymore because they assume like the Marshal, the minhag was only intended for pots with crevices, and we don't have those pots, at least I've never seen those pot covers anymore. If you still have a pot cover with a crevice, I don't know, but I haven't seen those.
Now that we've abandoned the minhag, essentially, if you had a pot with a crevice but it was clean because we have the tools now to clean it?
Not sure. I don't know if it would be so easy to be made. Sorry, not a kosher to me. Okay. That's the first part of the Ramah. Now we just have the next part of the Ramah. The next part of the Ramah talks about if you're cooking, this by the way happens, I've gotten the shayla. Someone's cooking milk and meat at the same time, and they accidentally take the pot cover from one and put it on the other. They put the wrong cover on the wrong pot. Right? So here it's not a shayla of ben yomoy. You're cooking everything now. The question is just how usher becomes, depending on how hot it was. So says the Ramah, v'imlaku kisur rotef k'dir shal basar. If you take a hot cover from cooking meat, v'nasn also k'dir shal kolam, and put it on a pot of milk, im shneim chamim shneim asurim, im yishmach l'k'dir shal basar v'chalav. If you're cooking actual meat and milk, there's actual meat and actual milk, not empty pots from the drawer. Your mom is cooking meat and milk, and everything's hot, and you put the meat pot cover on the milk, pot, then it's all treif. Okay. Why is it all treif? Does anyone have an iPhone?
I have Android.
Same idea. Sure.
iPhone
and that's a good picture. Sure. You know, there's a rule recently discovered by scientists that that how smart a person is inversely proportional to his phone.
You see, look how much taller they are.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's figure out the different cases. The first case was here you have your. And here you have your hat with meat in it, and they're both hot. You take the cover and you put it there. What's the din? It's all treif. All treif, this pot is all treif. Why is it all treif? Because this pot cover is freshly fleshik, and now you're putting it on milk, so that's pashut. It is all treif. Okay, let's go to the second case. What's the second case? V'im hakisoy tzone v'hakdei rechama.
The original
title
is treif also?
No. I just mean this one.
Okay.
Yeah. What is the second case? The second case is a cold pot cover, meaning you take out of the, not from the other pot, you take the wrong pot cover out of the drawer. What's the case here? Here you're cooking, let's say, hot. And you put on a cold pot cover. So what happens in this case? After all, what rule do we use? We use the rule of Tata Gavar. Im hischelazia tachzakisoy did Tata Gavar. If it was steaming, meaning when you first start cooking food, it might not be steaming. Right? Okay. What's the principle here? So you say, what's the din? If there's zeya, then it's all, attached, right? And tata gavar equals it's all treif. What if there's no zeya? Then what if there's no zeya? Still tata gavar, the bottom is hot, but he implies that it's not usher. Why not? Why if there's no zeya, is it not usher? What rule do we learn that's relevant to this? What? What? Well, why do you think if there's no zeya? Let's say, meaning the pot is hot, it's yatzo lettuce bowl, but it's not steaming yet. Why do you think this would be no problem? Exactly, because steak theira shenogu zevaze without food in between, right? If no zeya, then it's all mutter. Because it's shtei kederos shenagu zebazeh, even hot. Two kelim that touch each other without gravy in between do not become treif. Tom doesn't transfer from kli to kli. It only goes derech food. Even if it's closed, but if there's no steam, maybe you have to be lucky. Usually there will be. But how can you be lucky? You just started cooking it. It's yatzo lettuce bowl. But it's not steaming yet, so even if it's all closed, how do you know if there's steam? You take the pot cover off, you look if there's beads of zeya. If there's no beads of zeya, that means there's no steam. If there's no steam, you're in luck.
But we don't say that if the pot top is hot, uh-huh. You won't be able to see the steam.
Okay. Uh-huh. Great question. What if the pot top is hot? Then why don't we say the same thing? Check if there's zeya or not.
Because it won't be on it.
So this is not clear. This is not clear why we don't say check if there's zeya. So yeah, that's what I think. Kach nirali, I have not found this in the Achronim, but kach nirali. Nirali, and to Shmuley, so that's two of us, right? Right? You agree or disagree?
I thought it was.
Either way, we have Bez and Shal Gimel agree. It's probably possible that way.
I thought it was because you wouldn't see the beads of Zay on it anyway, because it's hot.
Aha, although in a pot cover, that's an interesting question. I hear the Taina. So, why not check if there's Zeya? But the truth is, in pot covers, you always do see beads of Zeya. Even though they're hot because it's such an enclosed space. But maybe, because it
already has Zeya from the Bisari pot. So you can't tell if it got Zeya. That's what Shmuley was saying, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that it actually mattered. I would say because somehow the flesh dicker particles touched the milk
Ah, or, be- okay. Or because, that's also a good point, if it has Zeya, then
the
it...
The shaft deals with the rim. You've got either...
Correct. Maybe because it already has Zeya from the Bisari pot. Okay. We can leave it at that, because you're right. Then you can find many ways to answer it, such as the Zeya is Bisari and touches the milky pot, which is what you had in mind. Okay, I don't mean to laugh okay for that. Okay, so maybe Tzarchion, exactly why we don't check if there's Zeya. Not 100% clear why we check it, why we don't check if there's Zeya. All the Echron sound like, if there wasn't Zeya, it would be Mutter. But just, usually there is Zeya. Minastam, there is Zeya. Okay. Tzarchion. Now, theoretically, if there's no Zeya, it should be Mutter, right? Because if there's no Zeya, then it's just a Kli that touched a Kli, so how could there be an Isser? That's what you would think, theoretically. Now, the last case.
Would we say that
by Kli? What?
Would we say that by inside the Kli? When we say Kli touched the Kli, it's the outside of the Kli.
Yeah, but what difference should it make?
Because you don't cook the food on the outside of the Kli. You cook the food
yeah,
on the
but
inside.
I don't think that's relevant. Yeah, but they just don't... No, I just think they don't go from a Kli to a Kli. The Rishonim say this in the inside of a Kli also.
They're going from Kli to airspace. What happens is the blees go from the inside of the top of the lid into the airspace of the...
Blees don't go into airspace, only into food. Okay, case three. Here you had a cold pot, and you transferred a... you put a hot lid, right?
How do you get a hot lid? The chor is on something, right?
You put a hot lid on a cold pot. Now what's the din? Now here it gets very, very, very tricky. Says the Ramah, Hakol Shari. It's almost that. What would you think the din should be? But Ikaron, what would you say when you put a hot lid on a cold pot? Tata Gavar and?
Klipa.
It's also Gede Klipa. Says the Ramah, HaKol Shari, Rak HaMachal Tzarech Klipa Im Efshar L'Kalfo V'Im Lav HaKol Shari. Everything's mutter, just you have to take a Klipa off the food inside if you can, and if not, it's okay. Meaning like, L'Chathchila B'Machber a little on a Klipa. If you can take a Klipa off the food, you should, but don't really worry about it. The Achronim asks, why does he Machber take a Klipa off the food and not a Klipa off the pot? The answer might be, because you can't take a Klipa off the pot, so no. But the food, if you can, lechachila be machmir. What? Okay, so let's hold that thought for a second. No, the whole kinigat reka considered is when it was a hot pot. Here it's a cold pot. Meaning the whole pot is cold. How could the plia ever go anywhere except for the top klipa? So what does the Rama basically say? Says the Rama, that... Lechatchila machmirem liklof es ha'ochel aval b'di'eved aval im efshar mutter. And the post can ask, why is he machmir, again, to take off a kleep of the food, why is he machmir to take off a kleep of the pot? Simple pshat is because it's efshar. Right, simple shot is the lo nesar hakli kede klipa ki e efshar. What does it sound like? It sounds like he really thinks it's mutter. He just like a chumra if it's easy, take off kede klipa. Basically mutter, right? Basically mutter. Who argues? The Shach argues and says, what? Yeah. This is basically Machlokas, Sharidura, and Isser Beheter. The Ramah is... What happens here? The Isser Beheter says Mutter. The Sharidura says Asr. So the Ramah says, you know what? Be Machra for the Sharidura... Hagol Sharidura, I meant. Sharidura itself hardly ever says much. Just in comparison to Hagos. The Rama says, L'chachila b'macha like this Hagos Sharidura, but really we hold like the Isra Hector. Really it's Mutter. Says the Shach? Nope. Shach says,
it's Asr to the Klipa Vezehu.
What's the basis of this Machlokas? So here it gets a little tricky, and we're not 100% sure we understand what the Rambam means. At least I'm not 100% sure that I understand what the Rambam means. Says the... what's the Svara? Who makes more sense to me, Svara, here? The Rambam or the Shach? What? Why? Why shouldn't it be Asr Kedei Klipa? Absolutely, b'dieved. Why shouldn't it be... What?
Because it's Kedem, not food.
So?
I was trying to...
Kedem also become Asr Kedei Klipa. The Pshat seems to be... Well, not seems to be. The Ramah says, what's a Svara? Svara is... When you take this hot pot cover... What's the problem? Is the problem the hot pot cover touching the cold pot? That's not the problem. Kli to a kli doesn't make a blia. What's the problem? The problem is if you take the hot pot cover off, it has zeah on it. The drops of zeah are the problem. Says the Rambam.
The zeah are cold.
Say, no, there are drops of zeah on this pot, right? The drops of hot zeah... The drops of hot fleshik zeya are klisheni. Whatever happened to that's not true. You put hot on cold, it's asr kedei klipa. No? Iwar is kedei klipa. What's this chiddush? This is based on the pshach in Siman Tzadi Beis's pshat because Iroy of little drops counts as cliche-y.
Would they also be bottled?
What?
Would they be bottled into
the... Well, no, because if you can peel off the top, then they're not bottled because you know they're on the top.
Yes, they go in, it's a liquid.
If it's a liquid, then they'd be bottled. But let's just consider for a second what the Ramah is saying. The Ramah is saying, remember that thing about the drop that came from the candle that landed on a knife? And we said, since it's a little drop, right, remember we said this far? Since it's a little drop, right, I don't know if I gave a marker that far. The marker is actually right here, this Dr. Moshe. Since it's a little drop, that counts as cliche, it doesn't make a blia. And I pointed out, well, the Shach and Siman Tzadi Gimel had a different shot. This is that Shach and Siman Tzadi Gimel. Says the Shach and Siman Tzadi Gimel, he has two objections. What's his svara? What's his objections? One, even a drop is oser kedei klipa. Didn't we know a little drop? You only need two greida. Here's where he said, no, maybe the greida we meant is an inside base of test means it's oser kedei klipa. Not scrape off the wax, scrape off the klipa of the kli. Maybe even a drop oser kedei klipa. Even a drop oser kedei klipa. That's why we can't automatically assume that every drop will not oser something. If it falls on a cold surface, because the Shach says even a drop asr's kedei klipa. You have to know, based on the circumstances, when you have room to remake them. So number one, they argue about a drop. The Ramah says a drop doesn't have this iroi. A drop is cold. Right, the drop falls off the cover into the food, a little drop turns cold. Shach says no, a little drop also asr's kedei klipa. Number two, this is the real killer of the Shach. And this, I'm not even sure how to defend the Ramah. Shach says, forget about the dripping onto the food. How about the drop that touches the pot? How about, says the Shach, the drop that's right here in between? What's bad about that drop? That drop is not Eroi that we get cold because the drop. It's still touching the klibisha. It's still touching the cover. The drop at the tefer, where the cover touches the pot, of course that drop doesn't lose its heat. On one side, it's still touching the hot pot cover. That's a killer question on the Ramah. I really don't have a great answer. I really don't have a great answer.
How does the drop get there?
What?
Is it in a different
size? So number two, yeah, the drop, you know, it rolls down the pot cover, right, with gravity. Number two, the drop touching the cover and the pot is still hot. I don't know how the Ramah could deny that. Don't we know if there's a drop touching the pot cover and touching the pot? It's still hot because it's touching the pot cover, and then it should asur kedei klipa of the pot and of the pot cover. So this, I really don't know how the Ramah got out of this question of the shach. Like the shach, the first machlokas I see. You have a drop, it falls, it's inside a pot, right? It falls 4 inches from the pot cover. A boiling hot drop falls 4 inches from the pot cover onto the food. The Ramah says, okay, I think it really is cold and it doesn't answer the food. And the Shach ba l'chachila take a klipa. And the Shach says, no, I think it might stay hot. Could be. But if there's a drop, like, how does the Ramah know there's no drop, which is still where the pot cover is touching the pot? That drop is still touching the pot cover, it's for sure still hot, and you should for sure asur the pot today klipa. You can't say it lost its heat when it fell. It didn't fall. It's still on the pot cover.
Maybe you're assuming the pots are essentially the same size, and so when it was on the meat pot, it didn't accumulate steam in those areas because...
That's a big assumption. You're saying maybe there was no zeya where it touched. It's a little tricky because at least in our pot covers, through gravity, it'll always go to the side of the pot cover.
Very high tool. It's a little
yeah,
very tool.
Maybe it gets stuck in the crevice. So this is a Tzar Ion. Can you defend the Ramah, Menachem? And Ramah says the drop loses its heat and is like klisheni. Shach says, what about the drop over here where the pot cover touches the pot? That drop didn't lose its heat. It's still touching the pot cover. So why would it make the pot trafe? It's a big Tzar Ion, this. This is
that,
a big Tzar Ion on the Ramah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a big sort of in on the Ramah. Hashav shot is we would be machmer like the Shach in this case, because he has a good kash in the Ramah, and Hashav shot is we would be machmer like the Shach across the board in this case. Halach lemaisa, we would say like the Shach, mo the Achronim assume like the Shach here, that we're machmer in this case, that it's still usher today klipa, it's not usher kulo, just today klipa. Everything's usher today klipa. Why? Because you're putting hot on cold. And we don't have special coolers for little drops. That's what we would assume.
So the pot would be asur kedei klipa of the top shell also?
Yeah, the top of the top shell is asur kedei klipa, the top of the pot is asur kedei klipa, and the bottom of the pot cover is asur kedei klipa.
Great.
Meaning the rim. We would assume it's all asur kedei klipa, like the shach against the Ramah. Okay, the last case here. Im lohaya... em lo ya machal ba kedera kol shari davi ke shte kedero shnagu zobzo. If there is no food in the kedera, it's all usser, it's all mutter rather, because it's like two kederos that touch each other. It's not exactly not exactly clear what case he's talking about. Yeah?
Can you see a couple of simanim now? Anyway, machlokas regarding the klipa, if it's all mixed in?
Yes.
So, don't remember the psak over there, but when we say that the Ramah, if the Ramah holds over there, really, the end is mutas, that's summer, Ramah shitasa, and then the klipa.
Correct. You could explain the Ramah's lishitasa that just the klipa is never a problem with the event. In a chanami.
That's the reasoning he's giving over here. Not saying anything to the Axeledispo or the Tatal Gavar. I mean, that's the Klippas for your Tipa and Yisaka Kilo. I can just think so. You need the Klippa. If you can't do the Klippa, you should attack him.
Okay, but why isn't the pot trif?
And the Chayesha, because Hakisha Bagal.
What?
I was going to say, but making a trade, but you're saying Efshar Ba'agala. The question is how you view Agala.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Is you want to say, but that's not what the Darkei Moshe says. You want to give a different shot at the Ramah. The Ramah is because in general, Klipa is only L'chachila, not B'dievet. That's not what he says in the Darkei Moshe. That's not what he says in the Darkei Moshe. So that's a bit of a tzarich ion. What does he say in the end? If there's no machal b'kdeira, everything's mutter. If it's on an empty pot, then it is mutter. Dahavi k'shtei k'deiros shenagu zevazet, because like two k'deiros that touch each other. It's not exactly clear what case he's talking about here. You know, is it going on the previous cases, going on all the cases, is there, on which pot is there no food? Clearly, if it's a case where there's no food involved at all, then obviously, no matter what cover you put on what pot, it's always mutter, because it's shtei k'deiros, shenagu zebzeh. The Rabbi Kiva Eger wonders, he says, well, if they're both hot, and there's no food in the pot you put it on, but it has lachluchas on it, why shouldn't that be a problem? The pashpshat is, the Ramah doesn't necessarily mean if there's lachluchas and it's all hot, then he admits that would be a problem. The pashpshat is, he means here when, right, when he says, if you put it on an empty pot, what's the case here? Case 4 in the Ramah. Oops. Is here is an empty milk pot, and here you put a meat cover up, and it's empty. So then the Ramah says, mutter. Right, says the Ramah, mutter. The question is, what if there was zeya on the pot cover from the fleshik pot? Then it's not clear what he would say. That's what Rekuya Eger deals with, but minastam, right, we assume that if they were both hot and the cover had Zeya on it, not from this pot has no food, however, there was Zeya from the previous pot, right, had Zeya of Basar on it, the Ramah would say Asar. Hey, Rabbi Kiva Eger wonders, like, why didn't he explicitly make an exception? You know, why isn't this clear? L'chara, he's not talking about this case. If they're both hot and there's Zeya of Basar on the cover, then of course, you're cooking hot Zeya of Basar on a hot melting pot, that would be a problem. He means other cases. If there's no Zeya at all, then it's just two pots that touched each other. Or, according to the Ramah against the Shach, even if there's Zeya but it's on a cold pot, then he thinks that would not be a problem. Okay. The last thing just that we discussed in this simon is the Rihalovan. And remember the Rihalovan? What did the Rihalovan say? What was the cool of the Rihalovan? Right, the Taz and the Kesef, the Taz and the Shach discuss the case of the Rihalovan. Right, that's the last Taz at the very end, if I'm not mistaken. There should be a paragraph break somewhere here. Kasabes Yosef. Right? Heter Rihalovan. What is the following case? What? I'm at the last paragraph break in the Taz. It's a very long paragraph. Kasabes Yosef, Pishimagosh Aridura, Zelashona, Heter Rihalovan. Here is a fascinating case. Rihalovan. Exactly. So, what happens if you have an old milchik pot, you soak, well, let's start with this case. If you have a new milchik pot, you soak milk in it until 2 o'clock p.m. Sunday. And then, what? I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you. Okay? And then, you cook meat in it at 10 p.m. Sunday. No, this is easy. What's the din?
You soaked the meat, milk in it until 2 p.m. Sunday. Then you emptied it. 8 hours later, you cooked meat in it.
But it's been
what's the status?
Can it become benyam without getting
hot? Ah, tell me the law for that. Kamash kumavushal, right? So, what's the din? Right? The pot is benyomo. So, the meat is treif. That's not the chiddush of the real oven.
If the milk was in there for 24
hours. Well, let's say. Fine. Great. Okay? Let's assume that for now.
And you don't have shisha, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now, what's the chiddush of the real oven? Here's the chiddush of the white re. If you have an old milchik pot, used many times, most recently, Friday, right? It's not benyoma, remember we're on Sunday morning, right? Then, you soak milk in it until 2 o'clock p.m. Sunday, and you cook meat in it when? 10 p.m. Sunday. So, what might you think? You just soaked milk in it. It's benyomo, right? What's the chiddush that we all love on? What?
Oh, but it's not bolea, I was saying.
Exactly. It's full. It can't be bolea through soaking. Chiddush the rehalavan is that pot is eino benyomo. Because a saturated pot is not bolea. Stop saying that. via soaking. And therefore, the meat is kosher. That's the chiddush of the rehalavan. A new pot will absorb when you soak milk in it. Or anything else for that matter. Saturated pot will not. Meaning, you don't have to use this example. What if you soaked treif milk in the pot? Right? What if you soak treif milk in the pot? I mean, that's where he gets it from, right? If it's a new jar, if it's a new barrel, then it'll absorb all the treif wine, the treif milk, and the treif whatever else you soak. But if it's an old saturated barrel, it won't absorb anything. Right? That's the rehalavan. Came to Lupacha Einstein Sholmi Kodim. How much time to be saturated? Chazaka 3. Lo bala balayla klal. Wasn't balay, even though you soaked it all night. Therefore, it's no problem.
What's the
name of
Chazaka again?
I'm just says the, maybe not. Okay. And he gets this from Yayin Nesach. What does it say? That if you have Klicheris and you put Yayin Nesach in them, that if you have Klicheris, you put Yayin Nesach in them. If it's a new Kli, it absorbs the Yayin Nesach. If it's an old Kli, it doesn't. Okay. That's the real one. Great. What's the Machlokas? Says the, now I'm going to get Shmuley upset. Ready to be upset? Or?
The Bach might
be. The Bach makes you upset. And
no, the Bach is
negative. Right. So the question is, what did the real love on mean? How long were you soaking this milk? That's the question. Now, here's the tricky part. If he meant 24 hours, is he teaching you a chumra or a kula? You soaked it 24 hours. He's giving you big kula, even though kavash kamavushal. Not if it's saturated, it's not. Who says that? That's the levush in the bach. Says the levush in the bach. The levush and the bach says it was soaked 24 hours, and the chiddush lekula is that we don't say kavash kamavushal by a saturated kli. It's an exception to kavash kamavushal. And what do they say? That the case of the Gemara with the Yayin Nesach and the barrels was 24 hours. His case was 24 hours. The chiddush is, even the 24 hours of kavash kamavushal, that's only if it's an available kli, not if it's a saturated kli. However, the Shach, the Taz, and Marshal say no way. They say no way. 24 hours comes to Mavushal? What do you mean? If you cook something in a saturated pot, it doesn't get a blia? Of course it does. Of course it gets a blia. Even if you cook something in a saturated pot. So he says, Kavush Kimavusha, says the Marshal and the Shach and the Taz, they say no. In 24 hours, it would be Bolea. Right? What's the case here? The Rehalavan means less than 24 hours. Ah, if he means less than 24 hours, is he telling us a new chumra or a new kula, really?
A chumra by new pots.
He's really telling us a chumra, not a kula. Right? It's really a chiddush l'chumra that new pots are boleya in less than 24 hours. There's no kula here. Old pots are belay in 24 hours, which is what we thought all along. What do we think all along? Pots are belay in 24 hours. All of a sudden it says new and old are different. Question is, which direction? According to the Lavosh Nebach, he's making a kula. Ah, you thought pots were belay in 24 hours? No, I'm making old pots are never belay. They're saturated. According to the Marshal Shah, that's making a chumra. You thought pots are belay in 24 hours? That's old pots. But new pots are belay in less than 24 hours. Now, let's just deal briefly with one raya. After all, he gets it from the case of the Yayin Nesach in the barrels. But you can't bring a raya to whose shot is right, because in the Gemara we don't know if it was more or less than 24 hours, right? So how is that going to help? What's the raya that the Levush and the Bach brought for their opinion? They bring a raya, this Rav Schechter would like this, because they bring a raya to Hilchas Bas V'Cholav from Hilchas Shomrim. What's the raya from Hilchas Shomrim? Rav Schechter is very... strong proponent of the idea that you can't paskin anything in halacha if you don't know all shisha say all shisha start. Because everything depends on everything else, and you can't think you just learn like one part of halacha and you know what you're talking about, because you never know what it's going to be totally on something from Kachim and Taros or Shomer. If I am mafkin, here's the case, I'm mafkin barrels of oil with you. When I come to pick it up, they're not full anymore. So are you a thief or not? Right? This is like an Encyclopedia Brown story. Right? Are you a thief or not? The Gemara says, no. If they're not full, it's okay, because it gets absorbed into the barrel. Ah! New ones get absorbed in the barrel, but old ones, if they're empty, you're a thief, because it doesn't get absorbed in the barrel. Now, how long does I mafkid it? Obviously, more than 24 hours, right? Suddenly I mafkid it for 10 minutes. I mafkid it, I leave it here in your cellar for a season. So we see from here that even in more than 24 hours, old ones aren't boleya. That's the raya of the Levush and the Bach. How are you doche that raya? This is actually a very fundamental lumbus. Rav Moshe has a long tshuva, not about this case, but about this about the yisod of this case. What's the Bach's raya? The Bach's raya is, his proof is that if you're mafkid shemen bikan kan Yashan for many days, it's not Bolea. So that proves even for many days it's not Bolea. Okay, how do you get out of that Raya? So there are two ways to get out of that Raya, as the Tiskei Tshuva here points out, which are having so to speak difference. The Taz in this long Taz says, how did the Taz get out of that Raya? So, the proof, the Chia, how do you get out of that Raya? The Taz is a very clever way. Taz says, no. Who says that in this case, in more than 24 hours, it's not Nivla into the barrel? It is Nivla into the barrel. Why isn't anything missing from the oil? Because in more than 24 hours, the oil is nivla into the barrel, and what was used to be nivla into the barrel goes into the oil, so it's an equal exchange. So he says that it is nivla into the barrel, but it just trades places with the previous Blia, the Gemara never said nothing's nivel in the barrel if you leave it for a month. Just says you end up the same amount of oil. Because sure, the barrel's saturated, so whatever oil goes in, that much oil comes out. So if I start with a gallon of oil, then you're right. A little bit of that gallon of oil seeps into the cheres, but the same amount seeps out of the cheres into the oil, so you end up with the same amount. It just trades places. But le'inyan kashrus, it now becomes treif, it now becomes benyomo, because it traded places. The old blias came out and the new blias come in. Exactly, that's what he says. Let's say it even better. He says, the new blios trade places with the old blios. All the Gemara says that you end up with the same amount of oil. Doesn't mean there's no blios, just means there are two directions. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chavos Yair, who has a very, very, very big chiddush here. This is the Taz. The Chavos Yair has a different answer. The Chavos Yair says, and this is an interesting question, what does it mean when the milk is nivla into the pot? Does that mean the milk goes into the pot? Or does that mean molecules of tam of the milk go into the pot? Says the Chavos Yair, the Taz assumes milk goes in the pot. But milk comes out of the pot, so that's why, or oil goes into the pot, oil comes out, you have the same amount. Says the Chavos Yair, he says, you're right. No actual liquid goes into the barrel or the pot, but the tam of the liquid does go in.
Scientifically true. Going without the malt.
That is an excellent question. Meaning they have two different ways of understanding what it means. The blia. What does a blia mean? The Taz says blia means the actual juice goes in. What's blia of a liquid? The liquid goes in. What does it mean blia from a solid? The juice comes out of a solid where you cook it, and the juice goes in. Blia is juice going in. Blia is small amounts of liquid. Therefore, that's what the Bach and the Taz assume. So the Bach says, well, blia is small amounts of liquid. If there's a blia, there'd be less oil. Proof there's no blia. Taz says, no, there is a blia, because liquid goes in and liquid comes out, and you end up the same. Chavos Yair says, no, blia doesn't mean liquid. Blia means tam. It's a little funny. Like, what carries the tam? We know it has to be molecules with modern science. I assume he knew that also, even if he didn't know the word molecule. It's an obvious svara. Apparently he thinks, no, even without losing the bulk of the carrier of the liquid, just the tam molecules can be nivla in. That's a big chiddush. And therefore he says, you can't put any proof from Shomrim. Shomrim, we don't care about the tam, we just look if it's full or not full. No actual liquid goes in when it's saturated. But tam of liquid still goes in. Even if it's saturated with actual liquid, there's still room for tam of liquid. That's the chiddush of the Chavos Yair. And there's a longer discussion about this. What is blia? Is blia like liquid going in or tam going in? Whatever tam exactly means. Like molecules, you know, like free molecules. Free tam molecules. That seems to be the focus between the Taz and the Chavos Yair here. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Halacha l'maisa, this is a machlokas. Sort of. No one... What? Okay. That's not what I meant. The Lvushin Bach, possibly like the Lvushin Bach. Right? Okay. The question is, how do the Marshal, the Shach, and the Taz paskin? So here we see a split. The Marshal says, Psak, the Maharshal says, we paskin like the Rihalavan, the Chumrah version. However, the Nekudas HaKesef says, the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef says, we reject the Rihalavan. Meaning, they both agree he meant a Chumrah, not a Kula. Question is, we paskin like this Chumrah. So the Maharshal says, he meant a Chumrah, we paskin like it. Kudus Kesef says he meant the Chumrah. We don't paskin like it. We paskin. There's no difference between a new and an old Kli. We reject the Rihalavan Ligamre. Ah, how can we reject
this chumra of the halacha on the gamrei. So he says here because it all starts with this gemara, and we're not going to get into it. This gemara and daf lamed gimel in Avodah Zarah about the Ayin Nesech, and this is his interpretation based on Rashi. The other should reject Rashi, so he rejects him lagamrei. Halacha lemaisa, the prima gadim in Simon Kofhei is machmir, like the is machmir like the Rihalavan, at least for Kli Cheres. We don't really have Kli Cheres nowadays. So if nowadays you don't have Kli Cheres, then there's more room to be makel. There's more room to be makel like the Shach, because maybe, you know, even if he was machmir Kli Cheres, you know, he machmir other Cheres things.
Stronger Bliar, so that for words.
Yeah, Kli Cheres is very coarse. Yeah. So Lamaisa, since we don't have Kli Cheres, we can have room to be makel like the Shach against the Marshal here, and say, maybe Menta Chumra, maybe Menta Kula. Even if Menta Chumra, maybe we pass like him, maybe we don't pass like him, and then we would not necessarily have to be Machmir. Okay, the Prima Gadim is a little vasupik, depending on exactly what kind of Kalim you have, but certainly he's leaning towards saying that there's room to be makel, if you have hard Kalim, to pass like the Shach. Okay, I think that's about it for Simon Sadi Gimel. Let us briefly glance at Simon Sadi Dalet then. Simon Sadi Dalet, where's everyone up to in Seder, by the way? I know a lot of people in the middle of Sadi Dalet. What? Middle? Okay, so let's look at the beginning at least for a few minutes. Hatochet kaf kol leves b'gdira shel basar u'ichah. Until now, we talked about cooking the wrong thing in the wrong pot, or the wrong pot, putting the wrong cover on the wrong pot. Now, what if you stick the wrong spoon in the wrong pot? This also is ma'is b'chol yom. People stir with the wrong spoon. So if you stir especially on Pesach, this happens all the time, because people forget exactly what other Pesach dishes look like from year to year, so they, even if all year long, they would notice, hey, I can't stir chicken soup by milchik spoon. On Pesach, this happens all the time. They don't cast shalom stir with their chametzik spoon, that they put away and take to the cabinet. But people always stir their chicken soup with their milchik spoon, because they don't remember exactly what the milchik stirring spoon looked like and what the flesh stirring spoon looked like if it was on the counter, and they pick it up and stir with it. Ma'isim b'chol yom. So what happens in this case? Misharin b'chol mashenitcha b'menu b'ikdeira. So what's the din? Well, what's the din of the spoon? You take a fleshik spoon, you take a milchik spoon and stir chicken soup. What's the din of the spoon? That's not discussed here. What's the din of the spoon? It's treif, right? After all, it has blias of meat and blias of milk now. We know that's treif. Okay, the spoon is treif, that's shmizu. Question is, what's the din of the chicken soup? You stir chicken soup with a milchik spoon. So, what do we say? Misharin b'chol mashenitcha b'menu b'ikdeira. We have to be mishar. We have to measure if it's batel b'shishim or not. How do we know if it's batel b'shishim or not? We have to measure, again, how much milk tastes in this spoon. We don't know. Since we don't know how much milk tastes in the spoon, how many molecules of milk, well, according to Taz, how much liquid of milk is in the spoon, or according to the Chavos Yar, how many molecules of milk taste are in the spoon? We don't know. Therefore, we have to be machmer, even though this is not the reality, to treat as if the whole spoon was one big piece of cheese. Ah, but not the whole spoon. The chomash shenitcha b'menu b'gdeira. After all, what part of the spoon touched your chicken soup? Only the part you stuck into the chicken soup. So whatever part of the spoon was in the chicken soup, we consider to be milk. And if the chicken soup is 60 times that part of the spoon, then it's mutter. If this chicken soup is only 59 times that part of the spoon, then it is usser. And imakaf ben yomo, says the Rambam, when is this a problem? Only if it's ben yomo. So, what are we saying here? Ellie? Just email it to Isaac.
Oh, I already emailed it to you. I'll email it.
Okay, that's fine. I can pass it on. Perfectly capable of that. Okay. So what happens if you use the wrong spoon for the wrong, right? Challah vi spoon in chicken soup. So, the spoon is treif. Technically, it might be treif, or it might just be fleishig and milchig. The minhag is to treat as treif, but it clearly leaves a meat, leaves a milk. It could be a lumpish spoon if it was ein b'yomo, let's say, if it was less than a 60th, right? But what about the soup? So then it depends. If, what does he say? If it's 60 times the inserted part of the spoon, then whatever time the spoon is batel b'shishim. And if not, then what does the Ramah say? What if it's not? What if it's only 40 times? It was a very thick spoon. Then still the spoon might not last for the soup. It depends, right? If spoon is not ben yomo, then the soup's also mutter, right? Because if it's not ben yomo, tam l'fgam, it can't treif up the soup. What's the only case where it can treif up the soup? If the spoon is more than a 60th, and it's ben yomo, then it treifs up the soup. What's the definition of ben yomo? You think ben yomo on the simple level means it was used in the last 24 hours. But you need more than that. What does ben yomo mean? It was used in the past 24 hours. What does used mean? Right? This is one of these things you could easily misunderstand. Someone says, I stirred my chicken soup with a milchig spoon, so I asked, was it used in the last 24 hours? And she says yes, because she ate Cheerios and milk with it this morning. No, what does Rav say? Only if you use in a kli rishon, it's ben yomo. Otherwise, it didn't absorb. And the Shach adds, only if it was used in a kli rishon for milk. If we're using a kli rishon for vegetable soup, it's still not going to be ben yomo, right? What difference does it make if it was using a kli rishon for vegetable soup, right? So, I mean, it's obvious, but you could have a misunderstanding. It's only called ben yomo, that's the rule. What is a kli ben yomo? If it was used in the last 24 hours, in a kli rishon with milk. So if it was used in a kli rishon with vegetable soup, it didn't absorb milk. If it was used in a cold cereal and milk with milk, it didn't absorb milk. It only absorbed milk if it was used in the last 24 hours for hot milk.
If you used hot water on something which is milk...
Good, okay. What about Eroi? So what if it was used not in the kli rishon but with Eroi?
No, that was hot milk, assuming Eroi of milk. No, I'm saying you cooked milk with it. Then within 12 hours, you used it for a neutral thing.
Yeah.
But surely the hot is ma'ora and blias.
No, we pass it isn't.
You don't say it's not.
We pass it isn't. We'll see that in great detail. We pass it isn't. Taka. Okay, what about Eroi? What if you use it for Eroi? No, we pass it either way. From what if you use it for Eroi? So the Shach points out
using the
that,
spoon for Eroi? What is that?
Yes, let's say the spoon was used in the last 24 hours, not in a Klippah show, but for Derek Eroi. Then, sorry, the,
Pour it from the pot onto the spoon.
Yeah.
The, who discusses this? One second. This is in the Taz, I apologize. The Taz says, if it was used at Eroi in the last 24 hours, then, then it absorbs its milchik ben yomo kedei klipa. Or, if it was just used cold and then you poured hot water on in the sink, that was Eroi, and it's milchik ben yomo kedei klipa. However, the Achronim point out that if it was used at Eroi in the last 24 hours, that even though it's ben yomo kedei klipa, the mice, it's still, your food's going to be okay. Why? Why don't we care if it's ben yomo kedei klipa? Why doesn't that bother us? Because there's always shishim neged the klipa of a spoon. How big is the klipa of a spoon? So that's why the Ramah says only if you put it in a kli rishon. The Achronim write. Because if you just did Eroi onto it, it would only be ben yomo kedei klipa. And then the klipa would be about the shishim. It's only a problem if, I mean, unless you stirred 1 ounce of it, you know. But it's only a problem if you put it inside a kli rishon in the last 24 hours. Because then it would be kulo ben yomo. And then you might not have shishim times it, because very thick spoons, sometimes you don't have shishim connected the spoon. Thin spoons you always do, but thick spoons, not always. Now, before we get to the main point of this sif, which is the yesh omrim, There are two other, there are two other details that come up here in terms of how to measure how much the spoon was in the pot. Number one, says the Shach, quoting the Maharshal in Sifkat Aleph, what does the Shach say? What if you don't know how much the spoon you put in the pot? Do you always know? Sometimes you might know. Let's say I stick a milking spoon in chicken soup. And then I notice right away, how do I know how much of it I stuck in the chicken soup? Look how much of it is wet and how much of it is dry, right? That's easy. But let's say I already washed it off, I already put it down, I put in something else, whatever, you know, and I can't tell anymore. So, he says, you're Bashar, the stam way people stir, which in his days, he said, ad rosh hakaf. In his days, they only stirred with the round part, not with the handle. In our days, that's not true anymore, right? When we stir with the handle also. So, in our days, what would you have to be a shire? Let's say you didn't know how much of the spoon you stuck in. So, you'd have to be a shire. How much of a spoon could people sometimes stick in? And that's what you'd have to use. How do you really draw the line? I guess you have to leave at least enough to hold the spoon with, right?
A lot of them today have a little brick thing.
Yeah, so they're there.
What?
Just plastic.
Yeah, for sure. Even the grip things, I don't know, don't some people often put that in the soup also, the grip thing? I don't know. You have to know Derek Nail, don't you? The interesting machlokas comes up from a diuk in the Shach. What's the diuk in the Shach? The diuk in the Shach is, well, maybe it's not a diuk, but you could be a diuk in the Shach, that, but if it is borrowed to you, how much you stuck in, then you go by what's borrowed to you. Now, what does that mean? Here we have a famous machlokas in the Pesach Tshuva between the Nod Bihuda and the the Prima Gadim. There it is. And the Prima Gadim. What if there are three cases? If you don't know, you have to be machmer for all the things that people sometimes stick into the Devarim. If you have proof, like you see where it's wet, then you have proof. What if you just remember? Can you trust your memory? So the Nod Bihuda says you can trust your memory. And the Prima Gadim says, and Pesach Tshuva agrees with him, you cannot trust your memory. What's the machlokes? Why shouldn't you be able to trust your memory? After all, eight FNM and Bisurim, why shouldn't you trust your memory? What rule do we have? Kol Milsa? Dilo Ramuli de Inshi Lava Daiti. Whatever is not significant to you, literally the Ramuli means it's not your responsibility. Whatever you don't think is significant, you don't pay attention to. That's clear. You ever have one of these like crime scene games, like someone looks at something and you start asking them questions, and whatever they weren't looking for, they don't know the answer to the question. Right? If you know something is important, you pay attention to it. If you don't think something is important, you don't pay attention. This is used in Bezin in Dini Momus. Right? If a guy says, you owe me $1,000, and you say, what do you mean? I paid you on the A train. And really, you didn't pay him on the A train. It's okay, maybe you're paying on the B train. It didn't matter what train it was, therefore you didn't remember. You're not held responsible to remember things that are not important. So here also he says, hold on, we shouldn't trust your memory. It's very important. But at the time it wasn't important, because you didn't know you were stirring your chicken soup with a milking spoon. If you had known, you wouldn't have done it, right? You thought you were stirring your chicken soup with a fleishig spoon. Therefore, it's not important. And if it's not important, then we can't trust your memory, because people don't pay attention to things that aren't important. That's the Prima Gadim. The Nod Bihuda, yes?
Can't you just say that you clearly just weren't careful enough? Is that the same thing as saying we can't trust you because you were already not careful enough?
No, he's not saying that. He's just saying, he's not saying it's your fault because you already proved yourself untrustworthy once. He's not saying that. He's saying that because even if it was totally against your will, like maybe someone tricked you, maybe, you know, a space alien switched it for your neighbors that looked exactly the same, it doesn't matter. Just, we don't trust your memory about things that you didn't think were important at the time. The Nod Yehuda says back, he says no. He says, when do we not trust your memory about things that are never important? But when you stick spoons in, sometimes it's important, because sometimes kashrus shailos come up. Therefore, since sometimes it's important, we trust your memory. That's the machlokas. If you stick a milking spoon in your chicken soup, you think it's not important, because you don't think it's a milking spoon in the chicken soup. But you know that sometimes this is a halachic issue. So do we say, the Nod Yehuda says, since you know it's sometimes a halachic issue, we trust your memory. And the Prima Gadim, the Pesach Tshuva say, no,
since Prima Gundam says, since right now you don't know it's a halakhic issue, we do not trust your memory. So that is a that is a big machlokas. Halakha lemaisa, it's not so clear how we paskin. On the one hand, the Noda Yehuda is a little more sure of his opinion than the Pesachei Tshuva and the Prima Gadim are. On the other hand, they do seem to have the upper hand, which is Taka. You didn't know it was important at the time. But lemaisa, it's a suffix what to do in this case. We're not sure who we would paskin like. The other important issue, and with this we'll probably have to stop, is the Kreis Uplasi. That was the first half of the Pesachei Tshuva Aleph. The second half of the Pesachei Tshuva Aleph is the Kreis Uplasi. The Kreis Uplasi has a great chomer. He makes a diyuk. B'chol mashenitcha b'menu b'kedera. What are the two meanings of kedera in halachic language?
The food.
The pot or the food in the pot. So what's the machlokes? Here is your, what was it, chicken soup? Right? Here's your soup, and you stick in your milking spoon. Let's call this A, B, and C. What does kidera mean? Does it mean equals C, what you stuck in the food? Or does it mean no? What you stuck in the pot. B and C are inside the pot. Chumra of the Kreis Uplasi against most Achronim is this is the Kreis Uplasi, and this is the majority of Poskim. Majority of Poskim says kedera always means the food. It's what you stick in the food. Who cares what you stuck in the pot? But the Kreis Uplasi, which Rabbi Yonasan Eibishev on Yoredeah, says, nope, everything is stuck in the pot. What's the reason behind the Kreis Uplasi? He says, Zeya. Remember the re? We said if a drop of milk lands on a piece of meat, it goes to that whole piece of meat. Why does it go through the whole piece of meat? Because whatever's in the Zeya of the Kedera, it absorbs through the whole piece. Says the Kreis Uplasi. You know, there's thick Zeya in the pot up to level B. Once you get to level A, the Zeya dissipates. Right? It's an open pot, the Zeya dissipates. But inside the pot, there's thick Zeya. That thick Zeya makes the Blia go through the whole, that counts if it's in the roaster, it makes it go through the whole spoon. That's the Chiddush of the, Kreis Uplasi. Just like it makes the milk go through the whole chatich of meat, makes the Blia go through the whole spoon. Therefore, whatever's in the Zeya of the pot, you need to measure shishim against. The most achronim disagree with this Kreis Uplasi. They say, no, you can't bring a raya from the piece of meat in the case of the of Siman Sadi Beis. Number one, because meat is softer than spoons. You can't bring a raya from meat to spoons. Meat is very soft and permeable. Spoons are less are harder. Number two, the meat was cooking there the whole time. The spoon you just stuck in for a second. So maybe if something's cooking the whole time, then it gets very permeated. But if you just stuck something in briefly, and it wasn't cooking the whole time, and it's not so hot, and it's not sitting there the whole time, maybe that's not a good raya. So this is an achlokas, the Kreis Uplasi says, it means all the airspace. Most poskim disagree with him. L'chora, we possibly get the Kreis Uplasi. They say, nope, true, if a drop of milk landed on meat, one of the three answers of the Shach was, it goes the whole piece of meat, and not only through today netila, because it's in the Zeya of the pot. But that's only meat that was cooking there for a long time. Sticking in a spoon, which is hard, which is only there briefly, we would not say this chumra. And therefore, most of the poskim say that kedera is only part C. Okay, we'll have to pick up next time, Rav Hashem, with the machlokas.
Is the spoon stuck there? It's cold or is it hot?
What?
The spoon.
It's hot. So that depends on these two answers of why we disagree with the Kreis Uplasi. So maybe we'll pick up with that tomorrow then. Tomorrow being Sunday.
Hope tomorrow's not Sunday. That's good.